And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 143 of Radio Free Asgard. My name is Tom Harris, and I'm coming at you from beautiful Chicago, Illinois, where it's spring, I guess. It's still pretty cold, though, and we still have a little bit of snow around, but it's really not as bad as it was, trust me. It has actually been really pleasant up here, though we actually had a pretty chilly weekend, including a little bit of snow, and hopefully that'll be the last significant snowfall that we'll see for the rest of the season until next fall. But right now, it's kind of nice outside. It feels like it's in the 40s. I've actually got the windows open as we speak, so if a fire truck goes by, you're definitely going to hear it. But a lot warmer than it has been, at very least, and I was able to get outside a little bit this weekend and putter around a little bit. So if you remember last week, I said we were going to be doing something a little bit different this week. Unfortunately, that seems to have fallen through. I am hopeful that it's still going to happen, that we're going to have a guest on the show. I'm going to be talking about something Norse-y, but unfortunately, that isn't going to happen this week, and I'm not sure exactly when it may happen. It probably is going to wait till after the convention, but we'll see, and I do apologize for that. But we do still have plans, because as you know, we have completed our jaunt in the Silver Age for the time being. I think next time we go in, we're going to barrel on through, and we're going to completely finish the Lee Kirby run, because there's only a few issues left of the Lee Kirby run at that point. But we are going to, by popular demand, go back to Thor, God of Thunder, this week. And we're going to be covering the Malekith story, The Accursed, starting this week. But before we do that, I do have a shout-out to give here to the newest member of the Radio Free Asgard Facebook group. And that, of course, is Abel Padilla. Hello, Abel. And hope you're enjoying the show, and hope you're enjoying the Facebook group. Now, if you want to come join the fun in our Facebook group, you should join us by looking for Radio Free Asgard over on Facebook, and you will find us. Likewise, you can email the show. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. So please feel free to drop us a line. All right, so without any further ado, let's go ahead and move along to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
So as promised, we delve back into the world of Thor, God of Thunder, with issue number 13, has cover date of November of 2013, cost 399 cents. Cover art is by Ron Garney, and beautiful piece of artwork that it is, too. Shows Thor fighting some guy who looks kind of familiar, riding on the back of a it looks like a tiger, and it has wings, and we see some elf-like creatures in the background and at the bottom of the page, kind of thrusting upward with spears. On the back of this flying tiger, we have none other than the evil Malekith. Now, this artist has a particular style that I think suits the Dark Elves really well. We'll talk a little bit more about this artwork at the end here. But we've got Malekith on the back of his tiger, which is contorted in a position that is pretty much impossible for a tiger to get into without being dead. And it looks like he's about ready to spear Thor through with a green, glowing, kind of kryptonite or poison-looking spear. Thor, of course, has the tiger around the neck, and he's got his hammer pulled back like he's about to thwack it. And it's a beautiful cover, though, folks. I really do say. The reason I say I think it's by Ron Garney is because there's actually no cover credit on the issue, but it does actually closely match the style of the art inside. Going to skip the initial splash page first because I want to get right to the credits. Jason Aaron wrote this. Ron Garney was the artist. Ives Svortsina was the color artist. VC's Joe Sabino was the letterer and production. John Moisan was the assistant editor. Warren Sankovich was the editor. Axel Alonzo was the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada is the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley is the publisher. And Alan Fine is the executive producer. And they give a credit here for this Nine Realms map by Jaime Jang. So I'm going to look at that map first. Look at the map. It's at the back of the issue. Oh, yes, we've seen this before. We have a map of the Nine Worlds, and it shows the Yggdrasil, the World Tree, right in the middle. And we have Vanaheim over the Vanir. We have Asgard, where the gods are. Alfheim, where the Light Elves live. We have Midgard, where we live. And Asgard, which apparently is on Earth now. Jotunheim, the Land of the Giants. Nidavellir, which is the Land of the Dwarves. Svartalfheim, of course, where the Dark Elves live. Niflheim, the Frozen Underworld. And Muspelheim, the Land of Fire, where Surtur is. We're going to start out here now on the splash page, where we get some exposition, because Jason Aaron likes to be dramatic, and we like that. In the beginning there was darkness, and then from the south came fire, and from the north cold and mist. And where the two forces met in the yawning void, life was born. Gods and giants, dwarves and elves, trolls and men. The worlds were made for each of them, nine in total. Each with its own place along the Tree of Life, each with its own wonders and terrors. This is the story of those nine worlds, and of the one mighty god who bestrode them all. And our story begins in the frozen land of Niflheim. And you can tell it's frozen because there's lots of ice and stuff around. And there's these people in a boat. And they're elves from the look of them. And they're dark. So they must be dark elves. Huh, go figure. Niflheim, the frozen land of hell. The world where rime and mist were born and where all go when they be damned and blessed alike. To be ruled by Hela, the goddess of death. But not everyone who comes to these shores is dead. Not yet, at least. And we have is a boat full of elves, and they're kind of pulling up to the shore. Now, they've always made it seem in the Thor comics before that it was pretty hard to get into Hel, because you had to go through a tunnel, and you had to go over a bridge, and there was a wolf there. These people just seem kind of, they're just taking a boat and sailing right up to the edge. The potion tastes of fairy blood, bitter fruits, and ancient enchantments. Their ice sabers are still wet with the insides of the wizard who was foolish enough to brew it for them. The potion will hide them from the detection by Hela and her Valkyries for moments only. They know that if they fail in their mission, they will never leave this shore. Not even if they die. And the boat is pulled up on the shore, and they're drinking out of these glass bottles, and it's all very Frank Frazetta-y. And they pull it up, and there's all these dead bodies, they're kind of like, help me, please help, before the tide comes in, don't leave us, blah, 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 blah. And the elves are just kind of pressing on, and they have a goal in mind. They've come to retrieve something from hell. And they reach the shore corpses near where Nidog the dragon gnaws on the roots of the world tree. And the Hall of Nastrond, a prison for the most fearsome of dishonored dead, and sometimes for the living as well. And these dark elves are climbing up on this tower, and they're kind of scaling the sheer walls of this tower using their elf Spider-Man powers or magic or something. The hall is deathly quiet. No screams of pain, not even a whimper. That tells the dark elf all he needs to know. Whatever waits to kill him in this place, he will never hear it coming. And we see this dark elf, and he's just entered a dark room. And we see eight eyes glowing in the dark behind him. And he hears a hiss, and he whirls around, and there's a giant spider there leaping on him. Really nice scene here. He takes his ice saber, whatever that is, and he hacks at the spider, chops it up pretty good here. Even as the great spider dies, the elf warrior feels the beast's venom running through his body. feels the pain surging wildly, and knows that soon he must begin screaming. What he does next, he does without hesitation. And so it looks like he's taking his knife and he's get smearing blood all over it as he moves. Oh, he cuts his tongue off. Okay, I get it now. Okay, how that's going to prevent him from screaming, I don't know, but it'll definitely prevent him from talking. As he moves on in silence, Scumtongue, the dark elf, wonders for a moment what name they will call him by now. I like how they show him here. They show him throwing his tongue away. We then cut to the inside of the tower, and we see a whole bunch of spiders, lots and lots of spiders. And there's all these holes in the walls and webs and kind of spiders hanging around. And we see the dark elves, they slip in and they're killing the spiders with spears. And they're, you know, dropping to the floor of this tower where there's a bunch of holes in the ground. And we see a figure that's kind of crouched down in one of the holes here. And he's kind of, you know, long hair. And it's obviously Malekith. They're not making any attempt to hide him, except that he kind of looks like the Joker in a lot of these panels. So this guy must really like to draw Batman. So we have Malekith here, and he's saying, "I smell spider blood and elf's breath." Boy, if you can smell elf's breath from where he is down in this hole with all these spiders around, they must have really rank breath, is all I can say. And the elves have arrived, and they're looking down the hole, see if they can see anything down there. Is it him?
Can't see. Something strange about the walls of the pit. It's almost like there. And they notice that the, you know, more spiders coming after them. I say that this guy can't draw spiders worth shit, but I guess they're, you know, hellish spiders, so maybe they look different than normal spiders.
And they hear this skik 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 noise, is insecty noise.
They've seen us. Hold them off. Sourfoot, go see if it's him.
My lord, I'm coming for...
And this kind of elf tries to dive down into the hole, but he is eaten alive by a spider that leaps out of the hole. So that is unfortunate for him. And the spiders are in the thick of the elves, and they're all fighting, and lots of spiders are dying, and then I suppose elves are dying as well. We cut to the inside the hole, and we have a... you know, shot here of Sourfoot, and it looks like he's hanging by, I don't know, legs or webs, or is it, I guess it's webs. And Malekith is like, "Sourfoot, is that you, you beautiful elf?"
"Yes, my lord, though it appears, garg, it appears I'm rather stuck."
"Yes, vicious little creatures, those hell snakes. You won't last long now, I'm afraid. Their venom will burn through you like a flaming sword through tallow."
"Here, my lord. Take my dagger. Hack your way to freedom, please."
And the guy hangs his dagger to Malekith.
"Yes, of course. But, you do seem to be in the way."
"Use my flesh and bones as your ladder, my lord. I gladly give all to thee. God's the pain."
"Oh, the pain, the pain." "And I gladly accept," says Malekith. "Eyes open wide now, Sourfoot. Son of Svartalfheim, you will want to see this clearly, as with this dagger, I carve your name into history."
And he stabs Sourfoot, looks like, through the face, and we hear laughter coming up from the hole, which just goes to show that Malekith is the Joker in this story. And we see the elves are fighting the spider still, of course, outside. And the elves are, I don't know, it seems like they're not doing real well here.
"Look at the tremble. They know that laugh as well as we do. It seems even the spiders of hell know fear. Let them know pain as well. Cut them down."
And the spiders are swarming and they're still fighting. We get a little bit of exposition.
"As the spiders swarm and the dark elves' warriors begin to fall, an icy wind blows through the hall of Nastrond. So cold, even the most ancient of dead feel the chill. For years to come, they will speak of this day in haunted whispers across the frozen fields of hell and beyond."
And we see a hand come up out of this hole in the floor, and of course Malekith's hand, and he's going, "Ha, ha, ha." And we get a beautiful full-page shot here of Malekith crawling up out of the hole, and he looks like he's naked. And he's got some chains and shit on him. But it's very definitely Malekith, though they're kind of trying to make him look like the Joker too, I think.
the day Malekith the Accursed climbed out of the Pit of Woe, and the rest of the Nine Worlds fell in.
Save some for me, brothers. I'm hungry enough to eat the heart of every spider in Niflheim. Let's see if I can.
They then shift scenes to many dead spiders later, which is some very vague point in the future. Now, I thought they only had moments before Hel could actually detect them. So, that I guess very long moments there, and since Hel doesn't show up, I guess she didn't detect them. And we see Scumtongue, who is the elf that chopped off his tongue earlier in the issue, and he is guiding Malekith back towards their boat on the shore. And Malekith is like,
"You're a fine warrior, Scumtongue. I'm glad it was you who survived. At my side, you will never want for carnage or plunder. This I swear."
And all the dead are trying to beckon them back or trying to get them to take them with them.
"Oh, hail Malekith, Lord of the Dark Elves. Help us, Lord Malekith, please. The tide comes. Don't leave us."
And we see the guy who rescued Malekith kind of smirking here. And Malekith's like,
"Ah, a smile. I do believe that that's the fairest sight I've seen in a troll's age. Come then, Scumtongue the Tongueless. Let us go home to Svartalfheim and see who else is happy to behold their king."
We then shift scenes to Asgardia, Golden City of the Gods, currently floating in the skies above Broxton, Oklahoma, on Midgard, the world of mortals. Yeah, I was curious about whether they were going to continue the pre-Marvel Now continuity here in Thor God of Thunder, so I guess they are. And, of course, we have our familiar supporting cast here. We have Thor, and we have Sif, and we have the Warriors Three. Looks like Fandral, Hogan, Volstagg, and, of course, the Lady Sif. And they're all having some sort of a celebration.
"The sight unfolding this day in the Great Hall of Asgard is one few mortal eyes have ever seen. Behold the revelry of the gods," and Thor shouting, "More mead! For the glory of the realm eternal, I must have more mead." And there's serving people bringing Thor more mead.
"And another of these delightful Elfram daiquiris, dearest barmaiden. With three straws, if you please," says Fandral.
"Dwarf brewed corn whiskey, no ice," says Hogan.
"And one more bottle of elderberry wine," says Sif. "I suppose it doesn't look like we'll be leaving any time soon."
And we have Volstagg here at the end of the table.
"Another roasted goat. Someone appears to have eaten all of this one while I wasn't looking."
And Thor stands up.
"Another toast."
And Sif is talking to, Volstagg here. "Please try not to vomit during this one."
"Let us drink to the god of the hour. To Volstagg. Volstagg the Valiant. Volstagg the Voluminous. Volstagg the newly elected senator. Long may his belches echo through the halls of the Congress of Worlds."
"I'll belch to that," says Volstagg.
"Though let us not forget, dear friends, this is a sad day as well. For as Asgard gains a most magnanimous new senator, so it also loses the finest warrior it has ever known."
What's Hogan going to?
"Here's hoping you ragged lot can carry on in my stead and uphold the fine legacy of the warriors. The warriors."
And it looks like Volstagg is tearing up here.
"For the love of gods, Volstagg, don't cry. You'll drown the lot of us," says Fandral.
"I will miss raising swords amongst you rascally cubs and teaching you all that you know about the ways of combat."
"Yes, no one handled a knife quite like you, Volstagg."
"Or a fork, for that matter," says Hogan.
"No more tears now, beloved comrades," says Thor. "Raise your tankards, ye gods of Asgard. Senator Volstagg, Lady Sif, Fandral the Dashing, Hogan the Grim, this day is for celebrating, not for..." There's screams coming from somewhere not where they are. And people seem very alarmed by the screaming. And it turns out to be a dark elf. And this dark elf sitting at the table somewhere nearby. And he's shouting,
"Fire spreading! My brother and sister dark elves dying! I can feel it in my bones, all the rain and the horror roaring through my mind from across the world tree. Gods help us, Svartalfheim is burning."
And the Warriors Three and Thor get up, and they're getting ready to go into battle here.
"Hogan, I'll make haste to the stables and saddle our mounts.
And I'll have Heimdall ready the Bifrost.
Oh, they're going to start calling it the Bifrost in here too? Ew.
And I'll have Heimdall ready Bifrost.
Looks like your wish is granted, Volstagg. You've one last chance to raise a sword at the Warriors Three.
Perhaps you should all go on ahead whilst I stay behind to settle the tab.
And Thor is summoning Mjolnir to himself at a run here.
If there is trouble in the Nine Worlds, then the Warriors of Asgard will answer the call. To Svartalfheim we fly, my friends. To the Rainbow Bridge.
And we see the Warriors Three, Sif and Thor, taking off towards the Rainbow Bridge. And we don't actually see the Rainbow Bridge, but anyway, they're zooming across it, apparently. And we then next see them arriving in Svartalfheim, the dark fairy realm. Land of haunted forests, black bogs, black mountains, dark caves, and dark elves. And at present, the darkest of massacres. And we come across a town of mud huts, which are all on fire, which makes me wonder how mud huts can burn. But anyway, yeah, so that's where they are.
Entire dark elf village. Slaughtered. Even the babes. Who did this? Who are they fighting?
Each other, says Sif. Look up!
And they see that, Scumtongue or whatever his name is standing on top of a, it's either a giant mushroom or, yeah, it looks kind of like a giant mushroom, and he's standing up there. There's a dripping sword.
You, dark elf, says Thor. Is your sword reserved for butchering of children, or do you dare face full-grown gods as well?
Scumtongue would stab the sun if he could reach it, says a familiar voice. Or if I told him to. Hello, Thor of Asgard. How good of you to attend my welcome home party.
Malekith!
And Malekith has captured an elf woman, and he's got the knife to her throat, and she's kind of struggling a little bit. And Malekith, once again, is looking very Joker-like.
Malekith the Accursed was once king of the Dark Elves. This was Svartalfheim Civil War, my friends. We must tread carefully.
Yeah, because we had to get a little exposition here from Volstagg.
Malekith was sentenced to eternity in the Nastrand prison by Odin himself, said Sif. After repeated attempts to terrorize all the Nine Worlds, I'll tread carefully, all right, upon his face.
Yeah, this is pretty clumsy exposition here.
Malekith, you've always been a coward and an animal, but killing your own people, this is craven, even for you. Let the woman go, or I swear by the spires of Asgard I shall drag you back to hell a lot less alive than when you left.
My people, yes. I also thought they were my people. Thus I assumed they would welcome the return of the rightful king. But it seems in my absence the Dark Elves have lost their way. They've grown weak from nursing on the teat of Asgard. A pretender now sits on my throne, and the once proud and mighty tribes of Svartalfheim are scattered across the world tree from limb to root. My people have forgotten what it means to be strong. And that's what I've come to show them today.
And you can see, like, dead corpses. They're kind of speared and skewered and dripping blood. And Malekith just generally looking rather unpleasant here.
And I will continue to show them, wherever in the Nine Realms they may hide. All Dark Elves will see the light by the time I'm through, even if it takes off the cutting of their eyelids.
Fancy talk for a two-bit sorcerer with a one-elf army.
One elf? Oh no, son of Odin. We are not all so blind as you.
And a few more elves kind of clamber out and are standing on the mud huts and the mushrooms and so forth all around him.
Humph, says Thor. That's not enough elves. This will end badly for you, Malekith, no matter what happens to the woman. Might as well let her go.
You've caught me in a generous mood, Asgardian. How about we compromise? We'll share her.
No! And Malekith hacks off her arm, and she's like, "Arg!"
No complaining now. I am giving you the larger share.
And he's hacked off her arm, and he's carrying it, and he kicks the woman at Thor. Thor's like, "Get down, woman!" And he hurls Mjolnir, and it passes through Malekith with a foomph. So apparently Malekith has used his elven magic to vanish, and Fandral speaks the obvious.
Malekith and his men, they've disappeared.
Thor, she's going to bleed to death unless we...
Thor's like, search for them anyway. Stand back.
And he summons down a lightning bolt with a crack-a-coo, which is a nice little nod there to Walt Simonson. And there's lightning striking Mjolnir and making Mjolnir burn white hot. And Thor cauterizes the elf woman's wound by using Mjolnir. And we see a hiss. And she's like, "Grrrr!" And Thor's like, "The wound is cauterized. She'll live. But we must get her to Asgard as quickly as possible." "I'll fetch my mule," says Volstagg.
"Please," says the elf woman. "Malekith, you must stop him. He's gone to slaughter his own people. He's going to hunt them all."
And we get a shot of Malekith here, and he's talking to his warriors. "We ride, my warriors, to the gardens of Alfheim, and to the mountains of Nidavellir, and to the frozen fields of Jotunheim and beyond. Wherever the dark elves cower, we ride. Let the great horn be sounded. The wild hunt has begun." And we catch a view here of Malekith, and he's riding in the back of this white tiger with bat wings, kind of the same creature we saw on the cover, and looking pretty wicked indeed. Next issue, introducing the League of Realms. So as always, I do have a few comments to make about the story, but first we have a message here for you from C2E2.
The Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, also known as C2E2, is a convention spanning the latest and greatest from the worlds of comics, movies, television, toys, anime, manga, and video games. Bringing the best of popular culture to downtown Chicago on April 25th through 27th, C2E2's show floor is packed with hundreds of exhibitors, panels, guests such as Adam Hughes, Brian Azzarello, Eve Miles, and more, autograph sessions giving fans a chance to interact with their favorite creators, and screening rooms featuring sneak peeks at films and television shows months before they hit either the big or small screen. Join us for the best weekend of the year, April 25th through 27th. For more info, head on over to c2e2.com.
And don't forget the Radio Free Asgard will be participating in C2E2 this year. We will be in Podcaster's Alley at Table D4. So a few comments here as always. Gosh, what a difference 40 years makes. I mean, you know, last issue we were covering Lee Kirby, and now we're actually doing a comic where people are cutting their own tongues out. I mean, this is, as far as the level of violence and intensity and grittiness, of course, you know, this has turned it up to, 11 when you compare it back to this Lee Kirby stuff. Obviously, we're dealing now with a more sophisticated storytelling style. The general age of people who they're marketing these comics towards is rather higher than it was back in the 1960s. It's not necessarily a bad thing that we have this sort of more sophisticated or more violent kind of view. As long as the stories are well told, I'm really not that particular about that kind of thing. I think it is kind of a shame when you have violence for this just the sake of violence and gore. And by that, I don't mean Gore the God Butcher. But I do definitely like the feel that Jason Aaron is bringing to this story. It's got a proper mythical feel to it. We have giant spiders. We have an incursion into hell. It's well-paced. It's exciting. I actually like the story so far as we get into this. Now, maybe by the end of part six of it, maybe I won't be so excited about it. But at least it's got a really, really good start. We've got some reasonably well-drawn characters, even though we really don't see them all that much. Malekith, I think they're kind of expecting, coming on the back of Thor to the Dark World, of people thinking, oh, this is that character that Doctor Who played in Thor 2. I don't think it could be any more different from the character that we saw that Christopher Eccleston played in Thor 2. This is, a much more interesting character here in the comics. Now, let's move on to the art. The art is really cool. I like the fact that we have this sort of painted art. It's very reminiscent in some ways of Esad Rebic and what we've seen here in Thor, God of Thunder before. At the same time, Ron Garney has a rather more stylized approach. He definitely is not afraid to play a little bit with anatomy and making people stretch out in an unreasonable manner. We've got this character of Malekith who, frankly, in a lot of this issue looks a lot like the Joker, as I mentioned before. It's the Joker wearing a blonde long hair wig. But I don't know if that's because that's just the look that he's chosen, or whether that's deliberate or what, I'm not really sure. I think Garney's art is pretty strong throughout. And like I said, I think he's actually a better storyteller in a lot of ways than Esad Ribic. Now, mind you, I like me some Esad Ribic artwork. I think that what he's doing is really gorgeous. But I think that Ron Garney is a better storyteller. You can actually take the dialogue out and still tell what is happening most of the time in this. That's something that Esad Ribic has always had trouble with. He likes to do weird layouts and things that don't really make sense. You can't really follow the story with your eye. I think this is something that Ron Garney actually does better than Esad Ribic. And it's a beautiful art style, even though in a lot of ways it's not all that different. Did Malekith really need to eat all those spider hearts? It just seemed like a huge waste of time. You know, they talk about the very beginning of the issue that Hela is going to be able to detect them within, quote-unquote, moments. But they stop and kill all the spiders and eat their hearts. That seems like it would take a little bit more time than they have. Unless, of course, Malekith is like, Matter Eater Lad and can eat matter at super speed or something. I really don't know. So it's a pretty solid issue. I think it's a good start to this multi-part story. And, welcome back to Thor God of Thunder, folks. I mean, it's going to be going on here for a few weeks yet. Now, next week, we are going to be having a piece of Norse lore, as we always do every ninth episode, so I'm not sure if we're going to have a comic issue or not. It's going to kind of depend on which piece we choose to perform next week for you, but we do definitely have that coming up next week, as always. All right, so with that, it's just time to wrap up the show, folks. Once again, folks, thanks very much for listening. We really do appreciate each and every one of you out there. And of course, if you want to contact the show, please feel free to do so. We do love hearing from our listeners. All right, so with that, it's back across the Rainbow Bridge, back to Midgard, and we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. Radio Free Asgard is the property of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor, his supporting cast, and the various stories that we feature on the show are copyright Marvel Comics and are presented for review and educational purposes, and we hope you find them entertaining as well. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elvesmith, are copyright Motzvent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll tell your friends, or leave us an iTunes review, or even join our Facebook group. We do love hearing from our listeners. And if you didn't like it, well, oh well, we'll try to do better next time. Once again, thank you very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.